And peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. After this observance of All Saints' Day, there remain only three more Sundays or two more Sundays until the conclusion of the church year. All Saints begins a wrap-up of Christ's saving activity and his work in the church. This observance shares things with feast days already celebrated. With Easter, it celebrates the resurrection of all those who have died in Christ and are raised in holy baptism. With Pentecost, it celebrates the harvest of the Church Catholic, the great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." With that last Sunday in the church year, All Saints focuses on the church triumphant, the life everlasting, and the confession that whatever the people of Christ suffer in this life will be transformed into the bliss and glory of heaven. European Lutherans used to decorate the graves of their loved ones on this day, thinking about the resurrection of the body and the life of the world to come. Today, then, we talk about heaven and the blessedness of that place. I'd like to call your attention to the November issue of the Lutheran Witness, our Synod's monthly magazine. The cover has the triumphant Lamb of God and the words, "On Eternal Life." It speaks of Christ, the center of our eternal life. And if you haven't subscribed to this periodical, I strongly urge you to do so because of the many excellent devotional articles which come to you each month. You can subscribe for an online edition or the print edition. And extra copies of the magazine are put on the table at the entrance to the parish center. But this month's edition, just recently received this week, is particularly fitting and comforting. So today is all about the saints, but only in relation to Christ, the true Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. This gospel reading is always read on All Saints, and it comes from our Lord's Sermon on the Mount. St. John Chrysostom wrote, "In every beatitude, the blessed are receiving the kingdom of heaven." And yet there are so many paradoxical, so contrary to human reason and wisdom things that only those in Christ are able to see the blessing. What our Lord describes in the Beatitudes is our life under the cross, our life in Him. He describes our lives as blessed by God, that is, those who are receiving the kingdom of heaven, as the poor in spirit, those mourning because of their sins, those who are meek, those who are hungering and thirsting for righteousness, those who show mercy, those who have purity of heart, those who are peacemakers, and those who are persecuted for the sake of Christ. And while they describe our Lord Jesus Christ, they describe those who are in Christ. But these conditions aren't seen by the world as something to be welcomed, but curses to be avoided. We often don't feel blessed in this life under the cross of Christ. We mourn for ourselves and for others. We mourn the separation from our loved ones. We are often abused, persecuted, lied about because we don't live like the rest of the world. We are often materially poor in a society that extols riches as the ultimate goal of life. Christians don't demand their rights. Christians don't exalt themselves at others' expense. Jesus summons us to himself when he said, "Take up your cross and follow me." That's really what the Christian life is. It isn't just one happy moment after another. One preacher, I think it was Robert Schuller of the Crystal Cathedral, called the Beatitudes, these blesseds, the "be happy" attitudes. That man was a fool. That's a fraud to tell people that their connection to Christ will be all happiness. Those fools disregard the sorrows of life that come to all of those who follow Jesus. Christ has not promised to fix everything in our lives. That will not happen until we die. Some think that fixing everything in life is the goal of the Christian faith. It isn't. The purpose of this life is to be in Christ by faith. It is to live in Him, even amidst these horrible things that happen to us. And so it is the saints in heaven who cry out to God, and they cried out with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth?" Christ is the center of our eternal life. No human being earns sainthood. To be a saint is not based upon human performance, because that is simply impossible for any human being to achieve. No one should think that those who are not alive in Christ get heaven. And yet you see it when some beloved prominent person dies. Society rewards him or her with heaven. And yet it isn't public opinion that decides it. It is only Christ. Eternal life comes only from Christ, who grants it through the forgiveness he has earned on the cross. And this forgiveness is apprehended only by faith in Christ Jesus. There is no other way. And so we are baptized into the death and the resurrection of Christ. It is in Him, from Him. There is no eternal life apart from Him. Life in this world, then, it is not a series of events which have no meaning. God is at work in us to complete the work that He began in holy baptism, and He will bring it to completion on the last day when we shall be raised to eternal life. Unbelievers too will be raised, but not to eternal life. So why do we observe All Saints' Day? What's the point? The writer of Hebrews tells us, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." And so we see what God has done in the saints. They are those who have believed in Christ and were faithful to the end of their earthly lives. And they are the ones who are around the throne of the Lamb of God chanting their praises. Therefore, our delight today is to celebrate God's faithfulness in the lives of the saints who are in the nearer presence of Christ, as well as celebrate God's faithfulness in our lives, saints that we are. This celebration encourages us because we see the faithfulness of God throughout the many centuries of the church's existence in all kinds of circumstances and places and hardships. From the very early days of the church, when many made a good witness for the faith by dying for it, down to the present day, when still more Christians make the good witness of faith by dying for it, we find encouragement because God has been faithful in bringing them to eternal blessedness. It stuns many people to hear that more Christians were martyred for the faith in the 20th century than in all of the centuries leading up to it. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. In times past, it was customary that people left epitaphs on their gravestones. Epitaphs are the memories of the person buried there. And Christians often left Bible passages or confessions of their faith on their tombstone as a reminder to those who viewed them of the faithfulness of God and the glory of heaven. They are dead, and yet they speak. They are this cloud of witnesses who testify to Christ and what he has promised those who depart this life in faith in him. These saints are truly alive in glory. And with them we wait for the resurrection of our bodies on the last day when we shall join them in one happy reunion before the throne of the Lamb. And how we wait. Our bodies die and decay, returning to the dust from which they came. Some are buried at sea, burned in fires, placed in unknown graves. There are difficult circumstances which some of us have faced, feelings about which we would rather not speak. But I can say that God knows. And how he is toward us is not determined by that moment in our lives. Because if it were, then none of us would ever know if we could be saved. It is a mystery, but it is one that is comprehended in our Lord Jesus Christ, who gives us life and who lives in us through the blessed body and blood he gives us in the sacrament. He is the one who holds us in his hands, where no one is able to snatch us from his hand. Eternal life is in Christ. Your names are written in the Lamb's book of life at your baptism. God is faithful, and he will keep you safe until that day when we shall join them all around the throne of our Savior. A closing note. In that Lutheran witness issued noted earlier, Synod President Matthew Harrison's article is entitled, "The Promised Comfort of Heaven." He wrote it in response to his 98-year-old father-in-law's question about what is heaven, what will heaven be like? And so two full pages of Bible passages and short comments came into print. One in particular stood out for me, Matthew 26:29. "I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And here is Harrison's response, and one perhaps needs to know him to appreciate his wit. He said, "At the institution of his body and blood for the forgiveness of sins, Christ let us know clearly that there will be celebratory drinking in heaven." We do that even now, in the sacrament, when we sing together in the grand sanctus of the divine service, with angels and archangels and all the saints, the whole company of heaven singing with us, we do not hear them, but they hear us. Although we do not sing with the same gusto that there will be in heaven, that chant is the musical highlight of the service of the sacrament. Let us rehearse it well as the saints accompany us, those same saints that sat in these same pews in which you now sit today. As to that celebratory drinking of wine in heaven, it will be so happy because there will be no more sin and no more mourning and no more sorrow and no more hunger or thirst, no more accusation of sin and no more death. Only life, life with the Holy Trinity and blessedness forevermore. I'm very much looking forward to it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus.